Michelle Moon, the founder of Ultimo.
So you're opening your first concessional store here in Glasgow. Maybe a daft question, but why Glasgow?
Well, yes, this is our first Ultimo shop within House of Frasers in Glasgow. And I was determined that our first one was in Glasgow because I'm originally from here. I still live here, of course. And it's where the business started. So, you know, everyone was saying, well, let's open in London first. But it was an absolute big fat no.
How does it feel to see it in place now then?
Well, I think, you know, the shop absolutely looks incredible. We've got our own staff here, all fully trained by Ultimo. So if you're, you know, a AA all the way up to a G Cup, we will happily fit you out. I believe that they are the best bra fitters around. And the shop looks magnificent. And it's how I wanted the brand to be portrayed. And it looks just exquisite, luxurious, but affordable as well.
How much investment have you put into this venture then?
Well, we've invested around about £3.8 million opening up the stores and getting a big team. We've doubled our staff now as well. And it's really been since I bought my ex-husband out on February the 6th, 2013, at 6 minutes past nine in the morning. And it's been all go, go, go since. And, you know, we've had a big mountain to climb. But, you know, we'll be back into profit next year. We are buzzing at the moment. The brand is incredible. And we're just absolutely investing a lot in time, a lot in staff and a lot of money as well in these shops. So 12 will be opening within the next 6 months and then a further 12 after that. And then the expansion plans outside the UK will take place after that.
You alluded to the financial troubles the last few months. Just recently we learned £300,000 in the red.
No, that's not true. No, that's not true. That's been since the takeover from my ex-husband, where obviously it was a real struggle. But now the company is flying high. It's been the biggest it's ever been, to be
honest. How important is it that it's successful then, this venture?
We believe we wouldn't be investing in it if we didn't think it was successful. You know, our range has absolutely trebled in size. And, you know, introducing Ultimo Fuller Bust as well was a big part that I wanted to do. And, you know, the group is now part of a massive group with 63,000 people and a 1.4 billion turnover. And we hope that, you know, we will contribute really well towards the group.
Now, if Scotland had voted yes, would you have considered not opening up in Glasgow?
No, absolutely, we would have opened up. You know, Scotland, Glasgow's my hometown. And these plans were in place for the last, you know, 8-9 months. You don't just, after the referendum, you know, 3 weeks ago, decide that let's open up some shops. These plans are firmly in place for a very long time. And our team is here as well, so that wouldn't have changed.
The Chartered Surveyors are saying there's been a sort of problem with the housing market. They've seen a slump in recent months because of the uncertainty about the referendum result. Mm-hmm. Have you found as a businesswoman that there's been uncertainty for you in any sort of sphere?
Absolutely. The referendum caused huge uncertainty in business and in jobs and in inward investment. And, you know, that's just normal. That's just what happened. So now we've got over it now, and now we just have to start building and getting the promises that were made, get them to come to fruition and deal with the issues that Scotland has. And that's phase two, and that's what we've got to do.
Did it worry you, though, the referendum? Because it was a close call. I mean, at 55-45, it was maybe closer than folk anticipated.
Yeah, it was exceptionally worried because, I read the SNP 649 white paper, which was their blueprint paper for the referendum, and only one page of that was the finances. And I think that's where they really did fail. It wasn't a solid business plan. And if you were buying a company, you would do your due diligence. And if all the questions weren't answered, even 20 hours before the vote, where we didn't know what currency we were going to have, I think that's where they really did fail. This was not a vote on passion. Everyone was passionate about Scotland. Everyone is passionate about Scotland. This was a vote on the future of our children, our grandchildren, and so on. And I think now we've just... I suppose it's kind of like a company where the staff have gone out on strike, and we've won the strike, and we're now back at work. And we've won. We've got a lot more things that we'd ever had since before the referendum.
Okay, you know, you got a bit of a backlash on Twitter. I know you had to bar quite a few people. Is that sort of just the social media, the way it works?
I just think that, you know, I am on Twitter. I could come off it, but I actually do love it because people tell me what they want, and I help a lot of people, charities on it as well. And And it's I love hearing honest things from people. When people, and I'm not saying that I've blocked people because they didn't agree with me. You know, most people every day don't agree with me. But the reason why I blocked them is when they get abusive, when they get foul, disgusting language, then go somewhere else with your mouth because I don't want to hear you.
Would you say you're a victim of trolling then?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I'm a strong woman, but, you know, I was on TV the other morning about it, and I really do fear for children that are involved in internet, social media bullying, because I think it will really affect them. I mean, luckily, I'm a strong woman, but if I wasn't, then it would have affected me a lot more than it did.
Getting more needs to be done to try and crack down on it then?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I did, every time I blocked someone, which was over about 300 people, I sent a report to, you know, you click on the button, you send it to Twitter to report it. Not one out of over 300 did I ever receive anything back. So what worries me again is when it's children, you know, and they're really crying out for help and no one's listening. So I think that people who run these social media sites, they have to up the ante a bit, and maybe it's a lack of team, a lack of staff members, but I think they have to look at those procedures.
And finally, I mean, it's so fast, isn't it? It's how do you police it? There's thousands and millions of people using these forums and they get so much out of them, but how do you try and crack down on them?
Well, you just simply, if it is you're receiving, you know, some serious complaints, then they have to have the management procedures in place to deal with it. That's not my problem, that's their problem.